London. Switch to Vodafone, the UK's best mobile network, and Via Unlimited, because the best phones deserve the best network and our new unlimited data plans. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone.
Max download speeds apply to unlimited data. Best network as voted by readers of trusted reviews. Terms at vodafone.co.uk/unlimited.
You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network. Your voice is now heard.
This is The Energy of Autism with your host, Mandy Fridger. Mandy is here to promote education and mindfulness of therapeutic interventions for autistic spectrum disorders, including the relationships of the persons diagnosed and those who care for them. So now, please welcome the host of The Energy of Autism, Mandy Fridger.
This is The Energy of Autism. I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media, Global Network, and TuneIn Radio. I want to welcome everybody out there to The Energy of Autism with me, Mandy Fridger, as your host. In creating this series of talks relating to autism spectrum disorders, it is my hope that this can be helpful and hopeful for many of you out there educationally, emotionally, and energetically. And my intention is to create a guide for you, the listeners, but in part guided by you, the audience, as to what things will be the most helpful. And I want to use this as a forum to speak freely about autism spectrum disorders and to potentially discuss issues that some of you may have been afraid to talk about or ask. I am hoping that this is a comfortable forum to discuss uncomfortable topics, as well as successes and the vast scope of this disorder, especially from a psychological and behavioral lens. Regarding my background, I have my master's degree in educational psychology. I'm a licensed behavior specialist. I hold diplomat status in comprehensive energy psychology. I'm a licensed behavior specialist, as I mentioned, and a licensed professional counselor in the state of Pennsylvania. I have an outpatient practice and I do consulting work for individuals and professional groups. I'm not a physician, geneticist, or an expert in biomedical treatments. And more about what I do can be found on my website at www.mandyfridger.com. That's my name, MandiFreger.com. So far, to recap the series, for those of you who may be new out there listening, I've discussed the definition of autism spectrum disorders, some of the suspected causes in neurology, ABA, or applied behavior analysis, including functions of behavior, executive functioning and caregiver, including parents, teachers, and counselors, influence or energy. We spoke to our emotional freedom techniques, or EFT experts, Dr. Craig Wiener and Alina Frank, and thought-filled therapy, or TFT licensed psychologist and author, Dr. Fred Gallo. I also focused on communication and socialization and how deficits in executive functioning play a large role in inappropriate interactions where social cues can be missed or misread despite using the correct word, sentences, or a seemingly directed or scripted formula. I also discussed challenges navigating the community and began to discuss transition. And some of the other guests on the show have been people local to the Pittsburgh region, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I practice. And they have been Dr. Scott Faber, who's a developmental pediatrician, and Dr. Gregory Nicosia, who's a licensed psychologist and energy psychologist pioneer, and speech pathologist Janice Nathan. There was also, I believe, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a college-age student who was diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder by the name of James. And as you may recall, I use a term in this series called non-spectrum spectrumers to define all others who aren't diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder to illustrate that a continuum still exists with respect to mostly executive functioning and social communicative differences in all individuals. And these are the aspects that I like to focus on discussing the most. So today, in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, for those of you who aren't aware, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and with Mother's Day approaching this Sunday, I have a guest with extraordinary experience to talk with us today. Meenakshi Ramesh is the parent of a young adult who is on the autism spectrum. She's also a certified clinical EFT, or Emotional Freedom Technique, practitioner, helping families who have children with special needs find a balance between their work, their interests, and caring for their children. She's also the creator of an online course called Stress Relief at Your Fingertips. She recently did a Facebook Live every day in April, as Autism Awareness Month is in April, sharing tips and tools for parents and caregivers. She's the founder of Tap Your Way to Healing, and her website is www.tapyourwaytohealing.com. And her passion is to help individuals suffering from chronic pain and also to help families who have children with special needs, with primary focus on autism spectrum disorders. Meenakshi, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mandy, for the intro. And it's really an honor to be on your show. And thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, it's just to give the listeners some background. We connected because of this show. And you asked me to do a Facebook Live with you in April. So I talked a little bit about something that I've talked about on my segment regarding caregivers. And through discussions with you, it's been very fascinating to me about you, that you're a parent and that you know EFT and how you've applied this and how your passion is to work with caregivers. So let's get started. Tell the audience, tell them your story. Tell them your journey as a parent and about your son.
Sure, sure. I'd be happy to share my story with the audience. So my son got diagnosed with autism at the age of 3. This was in 2004. And that is how my journey into autism started. So just like all parents, I was really in a state of shock. And, you know, I had totally not expected this. And to be honest, I did not even know, was not familiar with the term autism at that point. Mm-hmm. When the team gave me the diagnosis, I asked them to write the word on a piece of paper and give it to me so that I can look up online and read more about it. So that's where I was at when I received the diagnosis for my son.
And it sounds like 2004. Yes. Where were you living at the time? What part of the United States?
San Jose, California.
Okay.
I live in San Jose, California, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead. What is it, Maddie?
Yeah, I just after the diagnosis, I asked where you lived because a couple of things that I've emphasized on shows is the differences across the country, and how the education about autism had been rolled out through the years, especially in the early 2000s and late 90s. So it's interesting to me that you just mentioned that piece that I didn't even know what this word was. I never even heard of it back then. So, yeah, go on. Yeah, let's hear more about what happened after your son was diagnosed.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I just came home right after he was actually assessed by the team at school because it was after 3, right? Just when he turned 3, you know, I thought like from 2 to 3, I thought it was some kind of a speech delay. And my pediatrician was the one who, guided me to go to the school district and get him evaluated. And so my research started right away. I came online, you know, logged in and just started my research. But I felt at that time I was really in a very dark place. You know, I felt all alone. You know, I felt as if a rug was pulled from under my feet. That's how I always describe how I felt during the time. But, you know, slowly and steadily, I found some support groups here close by and some friends, and I quickly discovered that, you know, I'm not alone. There are so many people out there going through this, diagnosis. And I understood that, you know, I can get the support that I want. There is help out there. And that gave me some hope, actually. That's how, you know, my journey into autism started.
Mm-hmm. And did your son, tell me a little bit about his supports early on. Maybe when we come back, it's almost time for a break. But I'd be curious for the audience to maybe be informed about what type of educational and behavioral support that was available and what you found when we come back from break. So I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. This is The Energy of Autism, and we're coming to you live today from Bold Brave Media Global Network in TuneIn Radio. We'll be right back with more from our guest.
Patricia Fayeweather Harlow is passionate about the environment and conserving our natural resources. She's written a 5-part book series for all ages called Rock with Rodney and Party with Perky to Preserve Wildlife, which brings awareness through these vibrant characters on preserving and protecting our national parks and historic landmarks. Harlow has launched a campaign to mobilize green supporters in forming a united front against big oil, big coal, and the Keystone XL pipeline. And she addresses the controversial practice of fracking in books 4 and 5. She's determined to bring greater awareness to the dangers of drilling and running crude oil through pipelines that cut through pristine landscapes. And she empowers readers to take action in keeping America beautiful. To learn more about Patricia Fayeweather Harlow and to purchase her books, visit www.patricia-fayeweather-harlow.com. That's F-A-Y-E-R-W-E-A-T-H-E-R. And play your part in preserving the landscape that we all share and love.
Mike Zorich, a 3-time California state champion in Greco-Roman wrestling at 114 pounds. Mike, blind since birth, was born in Hartford, Connecticut. He was a 6-time national placer, including 2 seconds, 2/3, and 2/4. He also won the Veterans Folkstyle Wrestling twice at 152 pounds. In all these tournaments, he was the only blind competitor. Nancy Zorich, a creative spirit whose talents have taken her to the stage and into galleries and exhibitions in several states. Her father, a commercial artist who shared his instruments with his daughter and helped her fine-tune her natural abilities, influenced her decision to follow in his footsteps. Ms. Zorich has enjoyed a fruitful career doing what she loves. Listen Saturday mornings at 12 Eastern for the Nancy and Mike Show for heartwarming stories and interesting talk on the BBM Global Network.
I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media Global Network in TuneIn Radio. Today, we're talking with Meenakshi, and she is a parent of an individual who's 17 now, correct? 17?
He's 18. My son He's 18 now.
Yes. And not only is she a parent, she's an EFT practitioner, and her passion is to help parents and caregivers. So she was a great addition for this segment. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the diagnosis and some of her feelings around that. But I'm curious, and I'm sure the audience is curious also, to hear about what your experience was, especially in California, with academic and behavioral supports.
Sure. So the first thing I want to share was because my son got evaluated by the team at the school district, you know, I was, you know, I would say like we were at the right place at the right time, even though I felt 3 was also late for getting the diagnosis. But, you know, immediately he got placed in a classroom, it was a special education classroom. But the very fact that he was he'll be able to go to school and receive the kind of support and education gave me a lot of relief as a parent, because, you know, I quickly understood how the system worked because it was through the school district. So he was placed in a special education classroom, and he received speech therapy, occupational therapy, and behavioral support services, basically ABA. Initially, we were not aware of these things. We had to, you know, navigate the system to get the services in place. That took us some time, but it was all in place within like 3 months, I would say. And so that was the first, that's how we started helping my son navigate the system. So having him go to a school every single day and having the behavioral support services at home and at school was really helpful for us to get started.
Mm-hmm. And what type of in-home service was available? Can you speak to that a little bit?
So it's basically ABA. Okay. So a therapist would come home in the afternoon after my son's son came back from school, and he would work one-on-one with him. At that point, it was like we were getting like about 10 hours of home ABA through the school district. And the same therapist was also at school with him, you know, in the classroom giving him some support, because my son needed a lot of support at that point. So definitely, yeah.
And what were the in-homes? Were the in-home services just called ABA, or did they have a specific title?
It was called ABA, but it was a combination of, you know, floor time, doing some drills at the table. And, you know, it was a combination, eclectic approach where the, you know, we also, the parents also had some input in terms of how to set the program, set up the program. And that's how it was done and driven, and the supervisor would come home and consult with the therapist who was working with my son, and that is how it was set up actually. And it was very, very helpful. Every intervention that my son had through the school was very, very helpful. And I'm very, very grateful for that to the system.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. One of the things, and I say this about the show, is I like to speak candidly about some things, because people that have come on the show have been very open and appreciative and, you know, expressed a lot of gratitude about their supports. But there are really difficult things about this. And have you ever struggled with a provider or not having the right match, or someone who you didn't feel had enough training in ABA? Because I talk about how difficult this is and how much training that it takes. Have you ever had any barriers to treatment, you know, just maybe like humps in the road? Because I think a lot of parents do experience that. And then oftentimes in my experience, they feel bad about it, or their expectations are too high. Have you experienced any of that?
On and off sometimes, you know, when therapists change, sometimes, you know, you can tell that they don't have enough training, and they, you know, some of them I've seen them totally fall apart. But on the whole, overall, it has been a good experience. I've had a good therapist come and work with my son. Most of them had really, even some of them who worked with my son had like about 10 plus years of experience at that point. So they really knew what they were doing, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. And for back then, 10 years is pretty ahead of the game for autism intervention. But nevertheless, I like to paint a fair picture when other parents might be struggling with that right now. And, you know, I hear everybody else has wonderful experiences, and it's up and down like anything else. And there are adjustments and transitions. And there is staff turnover. I'm happy you mentioned that, because that's the nature of the system for many reasons. It's a really tough job. I talk often, and I talked with you a little bit about, you know, the people have to have the strong passion and desire to do this job, but then, which we'll talk about in a little bit, about their energy and being able to maintain in this position. So tell me a little bit through the years about some of your son's strengths and weaknesses that might not be readily apparent to people who don't know that he's diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder.
Sure. So I'd like to start talking about his strengths first. My son, you know, I'm again very grateful for this. He's a very compliant child. He's very, very willing to work and sit and learn. He had this compliance from the beginning onwards, because communication was his major challenge. He was always willing to sit and learn and work with a therapist one-on-one. Because I think he himself wanted to be able to speak and communicate. So that is his biggest strength, I would say, start as a young child. And as he grew older, you know, into his elementary years, we found out that he's very musically gifted. And that has been a great, great enrichment for his life and for us and as parents. You know, it's been a great addition to his strength, actually. Yeah, and weakness, talking about weakness, my son has, you know, he has benefited a lot from many therapies and interventions, But he still has all the classic symptoms of autism, mainly speech, language, communication skills, social skills, and joint attention. You know, some of the executive function challenges my son has. So, you know, that's a weakness. And it may not be readily apparently seen by people, but that's where my son is at.
Okay. Thank you. And when we come back, I want to ask you a few more questions about that might be helpful for the audience. I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live today from Bold Brave Media, Global Network, and TuneIn Radio. We'll be right back.
If you seek a courageous advocate, prepare to champion your rights with consumer service agencies that support aging populations, Carol Ann Hamilton is the one for you. Carol Ann is an elder care coach, author, and speaker with a 250,000 hours lived experience successfully supporting uncopable aging parents. As a result of a challenging journey, Carol Ann revolutionizes how stressed out caregivers restore serenity to their worlds. She also brings over 25 years of change management expertise in Fortune 500 settings to catalyze urgent transformation within the elder care industry. Carol Ann is a popular speaker at conferences across North America. She has appeared via TV, radio, and print globally. Now you can tune in weekly to get a dose of her inspiration, plus down-to-earth advice to cope with even the most difficult aging parents. Listen Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Bold Brave Media and TuneIn Radio.
Attorney Renee Marie Smith is changing the way we sell real estate. She wrote a series of books called My Short Sale Guru Guides for all real estate practitioners. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to understand the process, an agent who has been handling short sales for years, or an industry analyst wanting to know how short sales impact your business, Renee uses her vast real estate experience to take a comprehensive look at the recent market phenomena while relaying it in an easy-to-understand format. Through her company, Smith Title Services, Renee has counseled thousands of short sale participants and processed in excess of 1,000 short sales. Her knowledge is transformational for real estate professionals and laymen alike, and her live presentations provide people the opportunity to ask specific questions about their issues. Buy her books and schedule her to speak at your next event. Visit www.smithtitleservices.com or call 305-705-3428 or email her at renee@smithtitleservices.com. Isn't it time to sell your property today? Learn the My Short Sale Guru way.
I'm Mandy Fridger, your host. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media, Global Network, and TuneIn Radio. Before the break, we were speaking with Meenakshi, who is a parent of an 18-year-old who was diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder, and she's also an EFT practitioner. And before the break, I had asked her to describe some of her son's strengths and weaknesses or parcelated skills, which are those skills Dr. Faber talked about a few weeks ago, that, you know, they might have a higher level skill set in one area, but still have challenges at an apparently easier, for the lack of a better way to put it, categorization in the executive functioning domain. So when we're talking about those challenges, can you give the audience an idea of maybe, well, first I wanted to ask you, how you mentioned communication and socialization, classic symptoms, are still a struggle for your son. How old was he when he started to use spoken language words, sentences?
I'd say like he started saying some words at the age of 2. In sentences, I would say maybe he must have been 5+ to speak in sentences.
And did he seem to make steady progress from words to sentences, or did he experience any regression, or maybe just a time frame where there was limited progress within that learning for him?
Yes, there have been many pockets there, like where we have felt that he's hit a plateau, not much of progress seen. But I have to also say that he has made steady progress, but he doesn't initiate or speak much. So sometimes it's very hard to gauge. And then there are some aha moments when he'll just come and say something out of the blue, and we'll be so surprised. He knows all these. And yeah, so there are some moments like that. But he has made steady progress. But coming back to the social interaction, one example that I would like to share is my son can just literally get up and walk when someone is talking to him. When someone is trying to interact with him, he can just look elsewhere and not even just connect with with the individual. So that's one example that I would like to give.
And this is so common. I just yesterday spoke with a mom that I work with, same issue. He's about the same age as your son. And she said, you know, this is just, he has so many skills, and then he just gets up and walks away. So this is an interesting thing for the audience to know. I don't know that I've spoken about that, but it problems, and Janice Nathan, the speech pathologist, does a really good job at teaching this. We just didn't get to this either in the segment. There's difficulties with terminating and initiating conversations. And I think that a lot of focus is with initiation sometime, because you have to, you know, we push for eye contact oftentimes because it looks typical. It looks like a non-spectrum spectrumer would do, you know, today. Again, and this is changing today, but back in the day. And we look for some sort of greeting or acknowledgement. And then terminating a conversation actually takes sort of an equal amount of skill to do, where it's my impression that oftentimes the kids, depending on what the engagement is one, their brains just might be tired, or two, it's, you know, just not in their frame of processing that I need to do step A, B, and C to move away from this person or this interaction. And, you know, you just leave. Or sometimes, you know, I've scripted kids in the past to say, you know, I'm done, which is a common thing from ABA when they're little. We teach, I'm done, or, you know, I need a break, something like that. And then that tends to generalize, where you see older kids, they're in the middle of a conversation and then just say, I'm done, and get up and walk away. So they pair the right language. They pair an appropriate expression, but it comes across as awkward, one, because of timing, and two, because, you know, you just, it comes across as rude. You just say something, I'm done here. Where for them it's, you know, completely functional and logical. So I appreciate that example, because I've seen that happen. And again, just yesterday, talking about an intervention. For that. And anything else socially that you can think of that someone who doesn't know him might not really pick up on unless they're engaged with him?
Socially, pacing, like my son, he can just pace across a room, or, you know, he can do that a lot, swinging his body, rocking himself. So those things can be apparent. But when they engage in the conversation, it's mainly the joint attention, like I said, trying to connect the joint attention. That is the huge piece that's missing. And yeah, he needs a lot of prompting and facilitation.
Yeah. And that's such a tough area, especially as the kids get older and are about his age. I talk a lot about executive functioning, but what the joint attention piece really means is, I think that early on in behaviorist training feels like it just means paying attention to someone else. But what that attention really includes is being able to hold in one piece of your mind what the conversation content is about, and then assimilating what the person is saying to you at the same moment, and then creating or thinking about a response to that person. And there's, you know, multiple steps in executive functioning to do that. And that's still tough. I do see that. That's a very common thing in adolescents or young adults. And sometimes it comes across as, I just keep talking about, I'll pause in the conversation and let you talk, but I'll keep talking about where my last thought was without assimilating the new information. So I think that's one thing that it's very hard for people that don't know these young adults to pick up on until they're in a conversation with them. And then they're just like, I don't know if they were listening to what I said, but they were talking to me. So it's another interesting behavior. So I appreciate that. And I think a lot of parents listening will resonate with those examples too. Let me shift gears a little bit. You mentioned earlier that you went to some support groups, and I've had mixed feedback about support groups through the years from parents. Quite frankly, in my area, a lot of them haven't held together. I think now in the age of social media, that's actually helped support parents a little bit more. But tell me about your support, your social support, early on and maybe to this point.
I came across this organization called GINA. It's an organization that helps families who have children with special needs. So at that time, they had an Yahoo group, which was very active, where, you know, a lot of parents would contribute share, ask questions, and, you know, basically resources, where to go, I'm looking for this, and, well, you know, doctors, therapists, a lot of support that way. And through that organization, I came, made some friends and with whom I really connected. And I come from this place where I feel everybody is going through this. And I was at a very dark place at the time. So I can understand, you know, what the other parents must have gone through or already going through. So there have been good and bad experiences. But I think I took the good and moved on, mm-hmm. because I guess I was too busy focusing on, you know, how to improve my son. So, So as you, as other parents share, there's always good and bad. But on the whole, I'm still affiliated with the organization, and I'm affiliated with so many other nonprofits. After that, there are some 4 or 5 nonprofit organizations serving, you know, here in the Bay Area, and you know, I'm in contact with a lot of parents there.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. I think what you mentioned about the quality of the support and individual connections has been consistently what I heard too. Maybe not the quantity, but quality. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some difficult topics. I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media Global Network and TuneIn Radio. We'll be right back.
Did you know that your beliefs create your entire reality, but it's the subconscious beliefs that do most of the creating? Belief shifter and life coach Shiraz can help you identify those limiting beliefs and eliminate them, often in a single session.
Like, it was almost instant, like I had relief right away.
Creating better health, relationships, careers, and finances. Let Shiraz help you step out of safety and into awareness.
Definitely something's happening. It's like a flow inside. Yeah, it feels good.
Whether in person or online, Shiraz provides personal coaching, belief shifting. Visit Shiraz at energeticmagic.com or call 416-529-7429. Energetic Magic on the BBM Global Network, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Find your greater happiness. Be well. Be aware. Be magical.
I'm Mandy Fridger, your host. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Before the break, Meenakshi, a parent with an 18-year-old who's diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder and an EFT practitioner, was telling us, I asked her about her support system, and I think that the consensus was there were some quality supports that you've held on to through the years and just kind of hit or miss with some connections via support groups, but lots of support groups, organizations out there in your area of what you found. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I feel through the support system, one thing I learned is parents are so actively involved in improving the lives of the children. And sometimes I don't have the time to research on something, somebody has already done it for themselves, and when they share their experiences, it is so helpful. You know, it saves a lot of time. And, you know, if you're looking for a particular resource and someone says that you go get it here, and it's so very helpful. So that's something I wanted to share.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when people get back in the early days, people would kind of create resource guides. And I remember having one of us, a behavior specialist at one of the organizations that we kind of handed parents when we started doing ABA treatment in the home with them. And it had a lot of different resource links, you know, support groups, online advocacy centers, different interventions for different medical issues. So I agree with you. I think that the word of mouth support and tell me about your experience. And that's exactly why I'm having you on the show today. I think that it's really helpful for parents to hear from other parents. Something else I'd like to ask you, and I haven't focused on this topic, but I say in the introduction every week that I want to talk about things that are uncomfortable. And this is a topic that I've heard individually in therapy, and I've heard it with other parents that I've worked with when I've been doing ABA, but I don't see a lot of literature about this. And I think it's kind of a, I don't want to say taboo topic, but I think it's difficult because there's a lot of emotions surrounding this topic to talk about. And that is the topic regarding the relationship of when there's a two-parent household between the parents and how this diagnosis and the intensity of intervention required for these kids affects the marriage, quite frankly, and difficulty with daily life. And you've been so gracious to, you know, volunteer to speak a little bit to this, where I think that there's a lot of parents out there who don't want to bring this up, but maybe struggling. Can you validate some of these experiences or talk about some things that you might have learned from either your experience or friends of people who have had kids diagnosed?
Sure. I want to go back to the place where I started, the dark place. I would say, like, I've been very fortunate to have a lot of support from my husband and my, family. I say, when I say family, it's extended family, friends. I would say friends and family. Most of my family are not here. They're back in India. But as much as I feel I'm very fortunate to have a lot of support from my husband, and I have my son has an older sibling. So I also have to say that it was not easy. You know, it was like when you're in the dark place, it sometimes you just, as a mom, I kind of had this feeling it's all on me. It's like as if I did something wrong, and that's why, you know, we are at this place. So it was all on me, and there is a lot of, to put it precisely, a lot of blaming and shaming. We went through all that as a mm-hmm. couple. And, it was not easy. It was a journey, and, to actually even connect and bond and really make those changes in our routine. And when you have a child on the spectrum, there's so many things that changes, you know, overnight. And making those transitions was very, very difficult. That when you have another oldest child, you know, the attention is, obviously, you know, you want to give the best for both of your children, and it's impossible sometimes to do that. And you, as a couple, as husband and wife, to connect with yourself, your time, the quality time, family time, it's like I felt that there was a pause button on everything as I was really trying to navigate how to help my son. So it was a very rough road, very rough and difficult journey. But I guess we really bounced back every time we just felt that, you know, this is just not working. It's falling apart. I guess we bounced back and helped each other as best as we can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell parents that, you know, if that is your situation, you know, just honor and acknowledge that your journey, and it is a journey, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. So it's okay if things are falling apart. And my heart goes out to parents who are single parents who do this all by themselves. It's, you know, it's not easy. It's very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think most people listening will. Some of the other things that I think are common trends to see is, as you mentioned, it was kind of like I felt it was all on me as a mom. And I see that and hear it quite often, that it's kind of like, from an energetic perspective, I talk about how mom's sort of amygdalas go on overdrive and it's fight because I need to meet all the needs that I can and help my children, you know, child get his needs met and advocate for him. And it becomes such an isolated, you know, single focus for a long time, that I think that behavior alone tends to sometimes estrange spouses, where I have to, and either what about me or can we do this together? So sometimes I see that imbalance where one parent feels like they have to do it all, and I don't want to say that they're not accepting support from their spouse, but maybe they don't know how to, or they're too driven in that sort of tunnel vision for I have to help my child, and that's where a communication breaks down. And then, you know, there's the issue of time, and it's difficult. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing your experience with that, because I think it's much more common than is talked about. I mean, I think that that's almost should be addressed in family stress as much as the actual interventions for the kids. And I'm big on caregiver interventions, which leads into the next segment that, of course, the listeners want to hear about your experience with emotional freedom techniques and EFT, and how you've applied this to your situation, and how you've coached others, and what types of things have been the most helpful to you. So when did you get trained first? When did you hear about EFT?
So I stumbled upon EFT in 2011. So this is like 7 years into receiving the diagnosis for my son. So, I stumbled upon EFT, and I don't know, for some reason I got so hooked to it. The first time I tapped, I really felt this big, burden, weight lifted off my shoulders. I felt so good. Are we on still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a few more seconds. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about this. So it sounds like you're trained about 8 years, or have heard about EFT for about 8 years. So this was maybe when your son was about 10, you came onto this therapy. And so then we'll talk about how you applied that to yourself and with respect to stress reduction. I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media, Global Network, and TuneIn Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for employment and live in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties? Jobs Annex is the place for you. Are you an employer looking to fill a position or quite a few positions in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties? Jobs Annex is for you. Employers, JobsAnnex.com is your resource for career-minded people. JobsAnnex.com is the convenient place for job seekers and employers to hook up and move forward. JobsAnnex has been serving Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties for over 14 years. JobsAnnex is a former employment search firm. We've evaluated many thousands of resumes, and we understand what employers want and what job applicants need to be successful in their interviews. At JobsAnnex, we provide you with the tools to tell your story for free. Our resources at JobsAnnex.com will help each applicant construct an award-winning resume, an eye-catching cover letter, and key interview questions to ask in various types of interviews. Best of all, it's free. JobsAnnex.com. That's JobsAnnex.com.
There are artists, and then there's Alice Asmar. This award-winning artist has spent her entire life devoted to her artistic pursuits and has had a lifelong fascination with American Indians of the southwestern United States. Her book, Dance to the Great Spirit, showcases her drawings and paintings inspired by sacred rituals of the Pueblo Indians, and four of her lithographs are in permanent collection at the National Museum of American History in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. She is one of four artists in the United States to win a Woolley Fellowship for study in Paris at L'École des Beaux-Arts, and has been featured in numerous publications. She's exhibited at the world's most prestigious museums and galleries, and recently won a 20-year service award from the Burbank City Council and the inaugural art competition of the Foundation of the United States in Paris.
Visit www.asmarart.com, www.aliceasmarinternational.com, and email Alice at aliceasmar@aol.com.
We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media, Global Network, and TuneIn Radio. This is The Energy of Autism. I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. We have with us today a parent of a young adult now who was diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder, and she's also an EFT practitioner, Meenakshi Ramesh. And so we were left off about her experience with EFT and when she started. So let's pick up with that. You learned about EFT in 2011, and then what did you do with it after then?
Yeah, so every time I needed stress relief, I saw myself returning, going back to the EFT. I don't know, like I said, I totally got hooked, and, you know, I would go on YouTube, read articles, listen to podcasts, just tap, tap, tap. Basically, I was tapping a lot, during the first 1 or 2 years. And then it just suddenly, one day, it just occurred to me, like, you know, I just want to do this, you know, I want to get certified, learn this tool really well so that I can help people. And so I got certified through EFT Universe, and I started my practice. I completed my certification in 2016, and since then I had my website, and, you know, I've been in practice. So yeah, that is my journey into EFT, and yeah, I love tapping.
So for the audience, for those of you who may not remember or not in the energy psychology realm, EFT was what Dr. Craig and Alina were talking about in the show in February. It's a meridian-based energy psychology tool. It's one of the most popular, it's one of the most well-researched for anxiety, depression, pain management, trauma, not specifically for autism. There's not research, but we use it. I have a disclosure for my families, and I say, you know, there's not any specific research for this, but it's something that we can try, because quite frankly, we don't know enough about why these mechanisms work. But we do have research to show that they do. So tell us a little bit about pretty explicitly what you were using it for yourself? What kind of things were really stressful? Was it just like at the end of the day, did you put yourself like on a protocol for this? I just need to use it every day as a part of my diet, or was it as needed, or what kind of things were really hard for you that was, when you used this, was effective for?
Stress, I would say, like, you know, as you rightly said, Mandy, before we went on break, you were talking about, you know, the parents' amygdala getting triggered, you know, being in that fight or flight mode. That is how I was at that time, because I had this sense of urgency, as if, like, you know, I had to, like, get everything done, fixed everything, you know, fix all the problems of my son. That's how I was at. Mm-hmm. Although I didn't look at him as a problem, but, you know, that sometimes you can get so caught up in your head and think that, okay, I need to fix this, I need to fix that, I have to do this. So I was at that place, and it was just driving me crazy. I was so stressed out. And so it was basically, I would go back and go on YouTube and look for EFT for stress relief. And there will be people doing tapping videos. I just tap along. So every time I went there, it's mostly for stress relief. And then I realized that it's much deeper than that. As I started tapping, you know, in EFT, we use this analogy of peeling the layers of an onion. Mm-hmm. All the layers started peeling away for me, and, you know, it was much deeper work, which I quickly understood, because I did go through like a healing regression where I got really emotional, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of pent up emotions, everything. It was all good, you know, in terms of energy psychology, we know that it's all good release, gentle release. So I was basically tapping on all the internal turmoil that was going on within me. And I was able to release my stress in little proportions every day, I would say.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is a technique that, you know, the more that you use it, like you mentioned, peeling the layers of an onion, the more that you use it, the deeper, or, you know, different layers that can be targeted. So even, and I want to send this message, I speak to outpatient therapists a lot and encourage them to do this type of work. Self-care is huge. So even for us that are practitioners and teachers of these modalities, it's still important to use these, because we're not widgets and things change all the time. My question for you is the burning million-dollar question that the parents out there listening, I know that I can tell them this, but I want to hear what you have to say to them, parent to parent. If their question is, how do I make time aside from my child to invest in myself doing these types of therapies? What would you say to them?
I'd say just start with 5 minutes. If you don't have, I want to quote Tony Robbins. I think he's said somewhere in a video that if you don't have 5 minutes for yourself, then you don't have a life. So just start with 5 minutes. You know, we all can set aside 5 minutes of our time, precious time for ourselves, and try it. Once you start tapping and just experience the magic that it does, you will want to do more. That's what happened to me, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my family and friends that my life before tapping and my life after tapping, I started responding more instead of reacting ever since I started using tapping. That's when I felt, oh my God, this is so simple to do. And, you know, if I'm not doing this, I'd be just missing out on something so valuable for myself and my family.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And it is to us energy therapists, it's like a no-brainer after we've been using these things again for ourselves after a while too. So you work with a lot of parents now, as do I.
Yes.
Tell me about some of your successes. And, you know, this is, even though that this is, it appears simplistic to use this technique on the surface, and yes, there are YouTube videos, it can uncover layers quickly. So I always encourage people to seek out a practitioner rather than trying to do it on your own all the time. Tell me about some of your successes, and I assume that the bulk of your practice, as you mentioned, are more parents who have children with special needs. Yes.
Sure. I'm so glad you asked that question. As much as, you know, I tell parents to get started with some videos or some tapping scripts online, EFT is much, much more and much deeper than that. And when you work with a practitioner, first of all, they hold a space for you. Sometimes, you know, when you're so much burnt out and stressed out, you know, you really need someone to hold that space for you and listen. And you as a therapist can totally agree with me, Mandy, that, you know, when you go for therapy, it's just, you know, somebody is holding that space for you. So, yeah, it's, EFT is much deeper than that. And success stories, I'd say, like, I always start with the parents first. And what the parents tell me is when they start tapping on themselves, they see a shift, the energy shifting, and it's kind of the ripple effect that they are able to shift the energy of the family also, especially with their child who's on the spectrum. So, you know, a couple of things I would say, like, you know, when the parents start tapping on themselves, they see that the behavior of the child shifting or not escalating so much. That is one example I would like to share. So, yes, I consider that as a huge success story.
Yes, it is. And we come back, I have a couple points to add to that. So we'll be back for our last segment in a few. I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media Global Network and TuneIn Radio. We'll be right back.
Introducing BetterHomeAndGarden.com. That's www.BetterHomeAndGarden.com with just the letter N in Better Home and Garden. BetterHomeAndGarden.com offers you the highest quality products on the market that are environmentally safe and effective, and to make them available to you at the lowest possible prices. BetterHomeAndGarden.com understands that kind of creativity and do-it-yourself attitude. Thus, we developed our website, BetterHomeAndGarden.com. BetterHomeAndGarden.com offers you the following products right online: bath, bedding, collectibles, craft, sewing and hobby, food and beverage, furniture, home decor, kitchen and dining, lamps and lighting, large appliances, musical instruments, outdoor cooking, patio items, pet supplies, plant and garden, rug and floor covering, small appliances, travel and luggage, and so much more. Better Home and Garden is an online retailer offering a wide variety of high-quality brand-name merchandise at discount prices. Our service is personal and we aim to please. Visit us at www.betterhomeandgarden.com. Make your home your own.
French Rastafarian baker Chef Hugues Mott is a fourth-generation baker and has worked in 11 countries across three continents. Born in Mulhouse, France, he began apprenticing in his father's bakery at age 12 and has devoted his life to learning cultures of the world from inside kitchens across the globe. He also teaches traditional French baking by hosting demonstrations and classes, and his passion for baking is reflected in his delicious confections. With a deep respect for discipline and his Rastafarian way of life, Chef Hugues Mott exemplifies commitment to tradition and culture in a global world. Traveling extensively and combining a myriad of flavors into his recipes, Chef Hugues Mott brings a unique approach to baking. To read more about the French Rastafarian baker, visit www.FrenchChefHugues.com. That's H-U-G-U-E-S. Bon appetit and bless up.
I'm Mandy Fridger, your host. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about EFT and the successes that Meenakshi has had with parents. And a couple things I want to just clarify for the audience. As energy therapists, we say holding the space. And I'm just to clarify for people who aren't familiar with that term, basically that means being present. It means as a therapist, being present, just listening, being there for the client, not necessarily talking, and just having that relationship. So again, we call in the energy psychology world, we call it holding the space, because it's really a field dynamic too, that all those inner thoughts and remaining present on the therapist can reflect and assist the client. And the other thing I want to mention, which you just put so beautifully, was the fact that when the parents are starting to do EFT or tapping for themselves, and I just want to clarify to the audience, because some energy psychology practitioners who practice EFT or thought-filled therapy use what's called surrogate treatment, and that is treating the child through the parent. But what you were mentioning, and this is how I practice also, directly treating the parent for the parent's feelings and emotions, and how when that shifts, parents will report that their child's behavior shifts. And again, no direct intervention, you know, change, or there wasn't a variable added to change behavior with the child specifically, but just the parent being present has been amazingly helpful. And I hear that all the time also. And I think that that's one of the huge, huge pieces that we can take from doing energy work with parents, that it's very, very valuable in that aspect. So we just have a few minutes. We're talking with Meenakshi Ramesh, whose website is www.tapyourwaytohealing.com, and she's an EFT practitioner. What last words of advice would you give to parents who have children with special needs or autism spectrum disorders?
Yeah, so as parents, you know, we can easily get caught up thinking that, you know, that we are not doing enough. But just know that, you know, you're always doing the best you can for your children, and celebrate the little wins that you have in this journey with your child, and take good care of yourself, because that's the most important thing. We are in this for a very long time with our children.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I didn't ask you this question, but how is your son doing now, and what are his plans?
He's doing great. He's going to graduate with a diploma, and he'll be taking some classes in community college in the fall.
Excellent. Okay. Will he be living at home?
Yes, at this point, yes.
Does he drive?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fascinating. Great. So I'm glad to hear it. And it sounds like that you've worked really hard as a parent and a practitioner. And you do sessions, of course, in the San Jose area. So if someone's in your area, they can get a hold of you through your website. And again, that's www.tapyourwaytohealing.com. And this is Meenakshi Ramesh, who, again, is a parent of an 18-year-old who was diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder, and an older child, young adult. And she's also an EFT practitioner. So if parents are out there in your area looking for someone to help them, you're it. And again, EFT is
And I also work out of my home through Skype and Zoom if parents want to contact me.
Excellent. So I appreciate you coming on the show. I think this was very helpful. You've been the first parent that we've had on this series, and hopefully not the last, because I think that that's your input is very valuable as a mother and a parent to other parents out there. So thank you, Meenakshi, for coming on the show. And
thank you, Mandy, for having me.
Yeah, thank everybody. Thanks everybody out there for tuning in. I'm your host, Mandy Fridger. This is The Energy of Autism. We're coming to you live from Bold Brave Media Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Until next time.
You've been listening to The Energy of Autism with Mandy Fridger. Join the conversation each week as Mandy shines the light on information, knowledge, and awareness of autism spectrum disorders here on Mandy Fridger's The Energy of Autism.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.
How do you feel about karaoke?
You'll never catch me on stage. I'm more of a shower soloist myself.
Oh, you can't stop me. I just think I'm born to be up there. I've got pop star genes.
Genes? Like denim jeans?
No, in my DNA. I hear a cool tune and I can't keep it in.
Have you tried keeping it in?
No.
Maybe give it a go.
We all have our own privacy settings in life. That's why Facebook helps you control yours at facebook.com/privacy.
London, switch to Vodafone, the UK's best mobile network, and be unlimited, because the best phones deserve the best network and our new unlimited data plans. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone.
Max download speeds apply to unlimited data. Best network as voted by readers of trusted reviews. Terms at vodafone.co.uk/unlimited.